We're going to have you turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to bring it up on the side screen as we need it. Josh and I will run that for you. When it comes to prayer, there's a lot of room for personal interpretation and expression. And this thought wasn't missed by Jesus' disciples. In fact, during the 3 years of training that the disciples had with Jesus, they never asked him during that time for him to show them how to prophesy. The disciples never asked Jesus in 3 years to show them how to preach. They never asked Jesus to show them how to cast out demons. But there was one big how-to question that the disciples came to Jesus with. And that was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, last week, we looked at the first part of Jesus' answer to them. And we saw that God wants us to, number one, enter into prayer with the right motive and the right reason. Number two, that he wants us to come to him in honesty and truth and not pretending to be something we're not and not ignoring or overlooking issues that we have in our lives. The third thing we learned in Jesus' preliminary prayer message was that he wants us to strengthen the personal relationship that we have between just us and God. Strengthen that one-on-one relationship with him. And lastly, that we are to speak to him passionately and authentically, not in pretense and not in thoughtlessness. So with those preliminary instructions in mind, Jesus then moves right into it. And he says to his disciples, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Gang, that prayer consists of 65 words, and it takes less than 30 seconds to pray. Over the 2,000 years since Jesus has offered us this prayer, God followers have not reached a consensus on what we are to do with this prayer. Some think we are to pray Jesus' words verbatim. Just repeat Jesus' prayer word for word and do that regularly. Others see Jesus' prayer as kind of a framework or an outline to use to insert and infuse our personal issues into it. Yet others think that it's a model, giving us a checklist of items that we need to cover in our prayers. Which one of these is right? I believe they're all right. They all have merit. You see, Jesus doesn't say that this is the one and only prayer. In fact, there are prayers later that Jesus will pray out loud in front of his disciples, pray right out loud to God, and they're very different than this one. But here in Matthew 6, Jesus uses the word huto. And that word means in this fashion, in this manner, or like this. Jesus doesn't say, pray this. He says, pray like this. And friends, that leaves a lot of room for personal use of the Lord's Prayer. Tonight, as we unpack, let's focus on just what Jesus says, the huto. Pray like this. What does he mean by that? Jesus prays with an understanding, doesn't he? He knows a lot. And he certainly knows certain things. He has information, and he has convictions inside of him, and he prays in light of knowing these things. What things does he know? Well, the first things he knows is this: our position with God. Our Father, who art in heaven. Let's make that number one. Pray like God is your Father and you are his favorite child. Jesus' instructions to pray like this means that we need to pray like we know God is our Father and we are his favorite child. This father-child relationship is so powerful and so empowering in one's life, but only if we understand what a father truly does and what a father is about, a good, good father. If you've had a great dad, then you understand this. You bask in the glory of Jesus saying, God's your father, your dad, your papa. A father is designed to be the all-powerful one in the family, the superhero who does great feats and accomplishes enormous tasks. The dad is the one who stands head and shoulders above everyone else and can quickly, just as quickly, kneel down, swoop you up in his powerful arms, and tenderly hold you. And a father fights. A father fights to the death to keep his child safe, to keep his child away from any wolves. A father fights to safeguard their child from any harm. And a father fights to shield them from any destructive influence in their life. A father's job is to keep their child safe and deliver them to adulthood secure, skilled, and smart. Jesus says, when you pray like you know that the all-powerful God of the universe is your dad, not some distant cosmic force that doesn't know you exist, when you pray like you know he's your dad, it will affect the conversation, and it will affect the content, and it will affect the chemistry of your prayer to him. Next, Jesus says, pray like this. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second point is, Jesus is saying, pray like you want God's agenda over your agenda. You know, the common misconception that we God followers have here on earth is that we have been put here on earth for our agenda. We are to basically live as good as we can. We are to create some kind of happy, joyful life for ourselves and maybe help a couple others along the way. That's the agenda. That's not the agenda. In actuality, God never, never, ever asks for you or me to design our agenda for our life. He never asks for us to do that. In actuality, our will and our desires don't even come into play compared to God's will and God's desires. The only agenda that we are called to advance is God's agenda and God's kingdom. Jesus will say later, seek first God's kingdom and all the rest will be given to you. Now, when we say God's kingdom, we mean what God wills, God's will, and the way God does things, God's way, God's will and God's way. Jesus is saying, pray like you want God's will to happen. Pray that you want God's desires to come about. Pray like you want God's plans to come to fruition. Do not pray first and foremost for your will, your plans, and your desires to come about. God has a plan. And it's an incredible, epic story that reaches beyond anything that we can see or we can think up. Along with praying like you want God's will to come, pray like you want God's way to happen here on earth. What do we mean by God's way? Well, gang, there are two ways. There are two ways to live life here on earth. There are two ways to live them. God's way and every other way. God wants us to pray that his way would come about, that people would be courageous enough to live that way. Everyone in the world will scream at you to not live God's way if you are choosing to live God's way. And we know that. We have seen that. I am a child of the civil service. I loved civil service work. I was a firefighter for 30 years. And one of the things I liked about civil service was that you get your job and you get your promotions when you take a test. You take this test and you are scored objectively. It's just a it's a multiple guess question test. There's no feelings involved. There's no personalities involved. There's no opinions involved. It's like the world of track and field. Everything is measured and everything is timed. So in the civil service world of getting a job, when it comes to job opportunities and salary advancement, being scored objectively is about as fair as it gets. That's about as fair as it gets. Now, that's how I lived my career. But I have a friend who works in corporate America. And years ago, they were climbing the corporate ladder, and we were finding that how things worked there weren't objective. They were very subjective. Now, my friend has outworked, he has outperformed, and he has outpaced all his fellow workers, yet time and again, when he applied for advancement, he got passed over. Now, I've gone through this with him many times, and each time I'm always shocked because he never gets upset when he gets passed over for a promotion. He sees these absurd decisions being made, and each time he rolls with it. In fact, it seems to increase his faith. And I asked him, how could that be? And he said to me, the decisions being made, there really can be no possible reason for me to not be selected for their job. There can't be any possible reason for that except for one reason. God is supernaturally blocking my move up. God doesn't want it to happen. And so my friend believes that, and he walks through the day happy, and he walks through the day with a spring in his step, and he chalks it all up to God's will. He says if God doesn't want him to have the promotion, then he doesn't want that for himself. Gang, there are a lot of things that we will ask God for, but we must always let our heart's cry be for God to have his will and for God to have his way first and foremost. Instead of praying for the promotion, pray for God's plans. Pray for God's agenda and God's purposes to come about. And pray that our priority would be God's agenda, God's kingdom, and God's will over what we want to have happen. Next in Jesus' prayer, he says, pray like this. God's provision. Give us today the food that we need, he says. Jesus is saying, pray like God is providing your sustenance and pray like God is providing your very existence. Now, 1 Chronicles 29:14 tells us everything we have comes from God. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Jesus told Pontius Pilate, here was a guy who was going to issue Jesus' death sentence. And Jesus said to him, you have no power, except that it was given to you from God. You see, gang, sometimes we get tricked into thinking we're doing things. We get tricked into thinking we're accomplishing things and that God has no hand in it and God deserves no credit for us. Jesus tells us in this prayer, he tells us, we need to acknowledge that God is at the very basis. God is at the very basis. Thank you for giving us our daily bread. The very food we eat is provided by God. The air that we breathe, the quality, the gravity that keeps us standing on this planet, given to us by God. The roof that you slept under last night was provided to you by God. The people who love you were provided to you by God. The paycheck you get, the car you drive, and the clothes you are wearing are all provided to you by God. Later in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus will tell them flat out, He'll say this to them. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or enough drink and enough clothes to wear. Jesus says, isn't life more important than food and your body more important than clothing? He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? All your striving, everything you can do, you can't add a single moment to your life. Jesus says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and gone and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Gang, when we know everything comes to us and is provided for us by God, it changes the way we view God and the way we talk to him. Do you like the air you're breathing? God gave you that. Do you like the roof you're sleeping under? God gave you that. The people who love you, the paycheck you get, the car you drive, God gave it to you. I see God followers walking around all the time. I always have God followers tell me this. I feel very distant from God. I'm not hearing him. I'm not feeling him. I'm not seeing him. I just feel like God is very distant. Jesus in this prayer says, if you realize everything and anything in your life is being provided by God, if you pray like that and you know that, then you will walk around all day long singing George Strait's I Saw God Today. And when you sit down to a meal, I see God's provision right in front of me. What do you mean you don't see God? What do you mean he's far away from you? He gave you that. He made that happen. When my feet hit the floor in the morning and I stretch and I look out the window to another sunrise, I'm seeing God today. Because I'm seeing his provision of another day that he's giving me to live in days that he has numbered for me. And all this recognition on our part, it puts us in the right state of mind and the proper attitude to talk to God, to thank God, and to move into our day. And that leads us to the next thought in Jesus' prayer. Jesus says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Jesus is saying, pray like you know there's always relational work to be done. Pray like you know there is always relational work to be done. One of the best pieces of marital advice I've ever learned is for couples to do just one thing a year as far as maintenance goes in their marriage. As far as maintenance and care of their marriage, just do one thing a year. That means maybe you guys will read a book together. Maybe you'll visit a small group study together. Maybe you'll just go away, the two of you, and have a weekend or a week to yourselves. The advice is to do just one thing a year that focuses on your marriage. And why would they say that? Well, because relationships need maintenance. Relationships need time. Relationships need conversation. Relationships need understanding. And what Jesus puts his finger on here, relationships will require forgiveness. We will make mistakes, gang, in our relationship with God. We will make mistakes. But we will also make mistakes with our relationships with each other. And the only way to keep that relationship strong is to be quick to forgive. You know, this verse, it has kind of tripped people up theologically. I've heard people arguing about this theologically because it says for God to forgive us as we forgive. Some have argued that Jesus is saying God should forgive us in direct proportion to the way we forgive others. Well, that's just bad Bible study. That's bad Bible study. Because you and I cannot affect God's attributes. We certainly cannot determine how much God will love by what we're doing. We can't we can't gauge how much God is going to forgive, but forgive the way I do, God. We're not going there, and we certainly can't affect how much God will shower his grace on people by what we do. What this verse is saying is this. Good Bible study says, it is saying, Lord, forgive me, and at the same time, I'm going to be forgiving others as well. Jesus says, pray like this, i.e., pray knowing that forgiveness is going to be needed all around in your life. Pray like that. Praying like that fosters a modest, self-effacing heart in which, as we learned last week, is just what God wants. Jesus highlights the need for forgiveness in our everyday thought process by inserting this reminder into our everyday prayers. He wants us to not get away from realizing our daily need for God's forgiveness of us and God's help in us powering up to forgive others. Each of us knows we will blow it every day with God, and we will rely constantly on his forgiveness for our failures. Jesus is saying that the same provision of forgiveness is needed and must be extended in our earthly relationships. We are always going to need forgiveness in our world. I have a friend that I met in second grade, standing in line to walk into second grade, first day of school. It is a 48-year-old friendship that I have with this fella. People have asked me, how do you do it? You must be the most remarkable friends in the world. And I said, it's pretty easy. The main reason our friendship has lasted is because we're very quick to forgive each other. We never walk away in a huff or never stay away very long when one of us says something stupid, because we say stupid stuff to each other all the time. That's just the way we are. But we forgive each other and we move on. Gang, our relationship with God and our relationships with people are not going to go well. They're not going to go well if we do not forgive. Some people hold on to their past, and they roll the mistakes over and over and over in their mind, and they become paralyzed and sickened by the memory of it. The mistakes of the past strangle the life out of the days that they're living right now. I know people who are living in the shadow of a dark past, unable to shake it, even after God has forgiven them. And I tell them, after you've gone to God for forgiveness, after you've gone to him for forgiveness, the best way to abate a darkened past is to shine brightly in the present. Live wholeheartedly in the glorious, mistake-free present that God's forgiveness has brought to you. Shine with intensity and blaze through today and then the week, and then the months, and then the years, and as you do, the darkness of the past fades into oblivion. Forgiveness's job is to cause the past to become a place of reference, not a place of residence. Jesus says, when you pray, pray knowing there's always going to be relational work to be done in your life. Pray knowing that. Next, Jesus says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. What does Jesus say? He says, when you pray, pray like you know there's a battle going on for your heart. Pray like you know there's a battle going on for your heart. And gang, there is a battle going on right now for your heart. It probably came into play with you trying to get here tonight or deciding if you would come here tonight. There's a battle for your heart. It's a battle to win your heart's desires. It's a battle that wants your heart's allegiance, your heart's reliance, your heart's loves, and your heart's choices. It is a spiritual battle that we cannot see, but it is as real as the pew you're sitting in. Think of this battle. Think of it like you're a game show contestant. And you have to choose a door. You have to choose a door. But it's not just two doors or three doors or even four doors that you're choosing out of. It's 1,000 doors. It's 1,000 doors, and each door has a model standing right next to it. And each model is calling out to you, heralding how the prize behind their door is the best. And the host of the show then informs you that you can only choose one door. And the prize, if you pick the right door, is life to its fullest extent. You will get life to its fullest measure. But the rest of the doors, the other 999, they will contain short-lived pleasure, but then death. Jesus told the people, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road, and many are the doors that lead to destruction. And many enter through that. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Jesus is saying, pray like you know. Pray like you know there are angels and there are demons fighting for you to choose their door. God has one door, one way. Satan has countless doors and countless ways to offer you. One door, one way leads to life. The others lead to a life of the walking dead. Jesus says, when you pray, pray knowing that each day has spiritual choices and impactful decisions that are going to be made in it. And that we must be people of good judgment. We must have good judgment in our lives. There's one way God calls us to go, and every other way leads us away from him. Jesus says, when you pray, know that you are seeking God's help to follow that way. You are praying for God to instruct. You are praying for God to enlighten. You are praying for God to show you the path and to give you the power to do the right thing and take the right path. All the while, Satan and his demons are doing all they can to entice you to pick a different door. Any door. Any door. As long as it's not the door, God's door. Jesus says, pray like you know. There's a battle going on for your heart. And finally, Jesus concludes with this. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power and yours is the glory forever. Amen. Jesus is saying, pray like you know. Your life, your world, and your purpose. Your life, your world, and your purpose are not about you. They're not about you. They're all about God. The kingdom I am a part of and the kingdom that I work for is God's kingdom. The power and the ability of everything I do comes from God. Everything that this world has accomplished, all the great feats that have been done, all the Nobel Prizes, all the understanding we have gained, have all come from God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives us the wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge. And from his mouth comes understanding. All the wonder, all the beauty, all the majesty is all God's. He created it all. He sustained it all. He is the greatness in everything. Jesus says, pray like you know that you will find your life when you live with that as your proper mindset. On the other hand, if you are living thinking this, that your life is a personal kingdom, if you're living thinking your life is a place where you seek all the pleasure and all the reward you can, if you are living life thinking that where you are the one who controls your destiny and that it's all about your personal glorification and self-promotion, if you live like that, then you will find prayer to be a very difficult, very vexing practice that has very little payoff. Jesus says, don't pray like that. Pray like this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus says this: if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself, he says, and look to me, you will find both yourself and you will find me. Jesus says, pray knowing that it's all about God's kingdom. Pray knowing that it's all about his power, nothing we can do. And it's all about his glory. It's all about making him look good, not about making us look good. Live your life for him and do what he shows you, and you will find life to its fullest measure. He promises it. Jesus says, pray like that. I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come back. Would you pray with me as they return? Lord, I want to thank you for giving us a prayer that shows us things that we need to know. Knowledge we are to have, convictions we are to believe, and things that we are to lay hold of. Our conversation with you will be much different knowing these things and praying like they are the truths and the convictions we hold. That will give us a proper focus. And I pray that you help each of us to know that you are what we need. If we follow you, we find the life you designed us for. Give us the courage and the strength to choose your door while the whole world is calling us to choose theirs. Amen. You may stand. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us leave this place differently. Let something from your word, something from a worship song, something from a conversation we had with someone here, let it change us because we've come in contact with the Holy Spirit. Help us to see you in a different light. Help us to know what's going on around us. Help us to be people who live with good judgment, make wise decisions, godly choices. Let us not be people who try to live as close to what you're willing to tolerate as we possibly can, but help us to be people who put a smile on your face by choosing what is best. Help us to walk in the center of this amazing road that you have us on, not letting one foot step to either side, but staying in the center, what you called us to. We know it's never wrong to do the right thing. It's never right to do the wrong thing. So help us to be people who live that way. Let our prayers be one that pray with understanding, knowing what we are to pray like. Thank you for giving this to us 2,000 years ago. Thank you for showing us who you are, who we are, and what the epic story is that we're involved in. Let us be champions. Let us be champions in your kingdom, not merely people of little faith. We leave ourselves in your hands, Lord, knowing that your spirit is what powers us up to do this, and we trust you for that. But let our agenda always be that your kingdom come, your kingdom get its advanced. Your desires, your will, your way is what we want in our life. And we want to be a part of your team, not merely put you in our pocket and pull you out when we need a get out of jail free card. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. Know it's the best place to be. And I pray that you'd help us to be people who speak to you with wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.